You're listening to Funky Monkey MMA. Listening to Funky Monkey MMA.
Welcome back to another edition of Funky Monkey MMA. I am Kane Miller, and with me we have Dave Madden and the president of the Bare Knuckle Boxing Hall of Fame, Scott Burt. We have a very interesting show for you today with a true veteran in combat sports. He will compete in a sanctioned bare knuckle boxing match, which will be broadcasted on pay-per-view. Please help me welcome boxing legend Bobby Gunn. Bobby, thank you for being here.
Hey, thank you very much for having me on. I do appreciate it. Thank you, boys.
Oh, of course. Now, like we said, this will be a sanctioned bare-knuckle boxing match, something that is fairly rare in combat sports. Bobby, I know that you have been very involved in the bare-knuckle boxing community, so can you discuss how this event came into fruition?
Well, first of all, I'm a former world cruiserweight champion. I've boxed all my life. I fought, you know, the best fighters in the world of boxing. But all my life, bare-knuckle boxing is a part of my family, my heritage. I grew up into it. And in August the 5th, 2011, we did the first sanctioned bare-knuckle fight in 123 years. But I'm going to remember that right there. Remember that, 123 years. But I'm going to tell you another story behind that that Scott told me. And that was August the 5th. That's when I won the vacant bare-knuckle world heavyweight title. And then it kind of went crazy, boys. Like, the world started really buzzing. I said, open the doors. And leading up to that fight, the great boxing historian, Burt Randolph Sugar, God rest his soul, he was alive at the time, he called me and he says, you realize what you just did? You've made history here. You won the Lean Year title. I said, how do you mean, Mr. Sugar? He said, because you fought the first recognized fight in modern-day history, which is unheard of. When I say sanctioned, we fought at the Fort McDowell Casino. It was packed. 5,000 people. They were turning people away, boys. And at that time, the pay-per-view was done on a cheap internet pay-per-view. It was called Ustream. It was $9.99, and it crashed. There was over 1 million recorded people trying to get on it. 1 million, boys, trying to get on that with no promotion. Nothing like it is now. I mean, I wasn't even known then like I am now. But let's fast forward a little bit. Burt Randolph Sugar, the best historian in boxing history, passed the torch on to Scott Burt. Scott Burt, people don't understand how prestigious this man's historian of character, what he brings to the table. He is what I call the holy grail of bare knuckle boxing. He has the barns in Belfast, New York. It's the original training barn for John L. Sullivan, one of the greatest bare-knuckle fighters ever lived, trained there. And there's a rich history, which Scott will give you, too. I'm just giving you a quick run through. And what I mean by the Holy Grail bare-knuckle boxing, Scott Burt recognized me as a world champion. I was already a champion. I just didn't have that stamp of legitimacy to me until Scott recognized me and he reached out to me. I reached out to him, actually. He reached back to me. And again, this man is the only person in the world that has the authority to give recognition to a top bare-knuckle fighter. Now, you're familiar with the Ring magazine, right, boys? The Bible of Boxing, the Ring magazine?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And you know there's different title belts in boxing, the IBA, WBO, WBC. It's like Mickey Mouse, right? But you know that the Ring magazine has their champion, right? The Ring magazine title means what? The holy grail of boxing, correct, boys? When they say their champion, that means the super champion more than a regular title. Any boxer fan will know what I'm talking about. Scott Burt is the Ring magazine is the Bible of boxing. Well, Scott Burt, the Bare Knuckle Boxing Hall of Fame, is the Bible of bare knuckle boxing. when he gave me the title, the bare knuckle world championship belt, I was a champion, but I didn't have my title yet. That, to me, was the ultimate honor throughout my fighting career. And now getting back to here, fighting again, it took a long time to do it right. We didn't want to do anything underground, you know, the unsanctioned events. We put our head down. We worked really hard. We dotted all our I's across our T's, and we really worked hard. And probably, I got a text earlier, probably Friday evening or Saturday, so this will be on a worldwide internet pay-per-view system. It'll be launched out. We don't have those details yet, but I will get back to you those details. And it's going to be huge, boys. It's going to blow up again. It's the second sanctioned fight in history in bare knuckle boxing. And for Scott Burt to be there to oversee it with his authority, and you know, and to Dave Feldman, the promoter, who's worked so hard behind the scenes making this happen. We got a great team. You know, we got Big Joe Mack, an overseer. Like, you can't ask for a better team of guys. And to have a great friends like Scott, for me, who I can call up and talk to and get advice from, it means a lot to me. And I love him very much, and I love everything I do. And I'm so thankful to be in this position, boys, in my life.
What I think is so amazing is, like you said, the first one that you were in that wasn't sanctioned had a million views, and there was no promotion behind it. And this time, there is way more. You guys are being published in Rolling Stone, Men's Journal. I mean, the buzz around it is just growing, I feel. And I'm an MMA fan, and I'm fascinated by this event. And, you know, anyways, I just think a million last time. I mean, what are we looking at this time?
That's exactly what Scott said a week ago to me. We're talking on the phone, and that's what we're thinking. I think it's going to be phenomenal. It's blown to the roof. You know, again, I'm not looking past anybody, gentlemen. You know, my grandfather said to me when I was a wee boy fighting, he says, "Listen, boy, fear no man, but respect every man." And, you know, and I respect Shannon Rich to the highest. Again, Shannon Rich has a lot of fights. And you know something, boys? In boxing, it's funny, you know, people, if a boxer could be 20-0, right, and he loses one fight, oh, he's a bum, the boxing critics. But in MMA, a guy could be like 10 fights and lose 10 fights, and he's a world champion, he's a top guy. Records mean nothing in MMA. They mean nothing. And when you look at Shannon Rich, a guy that's had over 200 fights and he lost a lot of fights, that don't mean nothing. If the MMA says that does mean something, they're only contradicting their own outlook in life. This man fought dirty MMA fights, underground fights. He fought underground bare-knuckle fights. I seen him fight years ago in a fight. This man is coming for what I've got. I tell you what, sure as that sun rises tomorrow, no man born of a mother is going to take it off me, because I'm going to fight till I have no breath in me.
When you think about Shannon, here is his chance, and so you know he's coming with everything he's got, and it's going to make for a great night. We're going to have two of our belts are going to be on the line that night, the world belt and the American belt.
Okay. And my next question is for Scott. Being the president of the Bare Knuckle Boxing Hall of Fame, what first inspired you to run this organization?
Well, I'll try to make a long story short. Belfast, New York is such a small town, it doesn't even have a stoplight in it. Now, when I told Bert Sugar that, and he helped me organize this Hall of Fame, he laughed and said, "Well, it won't take long to have at least one stoplight, and maybe two or three as soon as the world finds out about you." But I went to Belfast Central School. Right now, I'm 56 years old, so I graduated years and years ago. And I was an athlete there and enjoyed the school system an awful lot. And so if there's ever anything I could do to help the town of Belfast out, I would. Now, picture in your mind a public high school that had a graduating class of 22 kids. And that's what my high school was in Belfast. Back in the 1889, when Sullivan was really just 6 months previous on crutches, he needed to get in shape for this fight with Kilrain. And without going into it in a lot of detail and giving you an hour-long dissertation, William Muldoon, the famous undefeated Greco-Roman wrestler, eventual boxing commissioner from 1921 to 24, lived in Belfast. And he said, let me take Sullivan back to my hometown, back to my barns that I just built in Belfast, and I'll train him. And if he wins, I get $10,000, and if he loses, I get nothing. So he took him back. Sullivan stayed there. It only took a few days before the media to find him, and they just flooded Belfast, New York. After 6 weeks, he came out in the best shape he had ever been in. Then he traveled to Richburg, Mississippi, and beat Jake Kilrain in 75 rounds outside in 104-degree weather, bare knuckle. It took 2 hours and 16 minutes. Isn't that something? And you couldn't write it any better than that. Well, they locked up the barns and basically didn't use them for 130 years. When I was 9 years old, I got a tour of them, and I thought that was kind of cool. That then in 2009, I got another tour of them, went back through them and said, you know, we need to open these up to the public. You know, when you open up the doors and the creaky door opens up and the dust settles down as you walk through it, there is Sullivan's equipment, untouched all these years. Bobby's been in there, and he knows what it's like to actually step on the boards and where Sullivan was. I've got pictures of Sullivan that are in there. The boxers from Baby Joe Macy to Leon Spinks to Carlos Ortiz, Billy Backus, they've all been there. They pose in the exact same spot, put their feet right where Sullivan was. And I remember Baby Joe Macy saying, I fought in Madison Square Garden, he says, but there's nothing like standing right here where Sullivan stood because he started it all. And so we have had to move the barns, and that was an ordeal to get them off of church property. That's a whole other story. And now we have them where they're accessible to the public. And we have life-size marble statues out front of John L. Sullivan and William Muldoon. And I said, what can I do with this? And I said, we decided, let's make this into the Bare Knuckle Boxing Hall of Fame. After I talked to Bert Sugar, he encouraged me and pushed me to do it. He says, not only is it the only Hall of Fame in the world dedicated to the Bare Knucklers, but the building itself is the main attraction, and it's not just any old Bare Knuckler, it's John L. Sullivan. Now, I want to put something in perspective for you guys. You know, there are only three holders of the National Police Gazette authorized belt, the Diamond Belt. The first one was actually Jake Kilrain, because of Richard K. Fox, the publisher of the Gazette, got upset with Sullivan, stripped him of his American title, and gave it to Kilrain and bumped up the world title. And then in 1889, the training that just took place that I told you about in Belfast resulted in John L. Sullivan beating him, and there it sat until 2011, when Bobby Gunn became the third person ever to win the belt. Now, I was hesitant, and I'll admit it, I was hesitant in 2011 to use the word linear, because I had not at that time had the authority of the Police Gazette. But I gave him our Bare Knuckle Boxing Hall of Fame belt. And then, just earlier this year in January, I got a call from the owner, Steve Westlake, of the Police Gazette. He wanted to meet with me. I had no idea what he wanted. So my wife and I got in the car and drove a couple hours and met him. And I said, oh, what do you want? They said, but boy, if we can ever get our hands on that Police Gazette belt, that'd be great. Within 3 minutes of our meeting, Steve beat me to the punchline. He said, I've been following you since 2009. He said, I appreciate your sincerity, your unselfishness, and your historical point of view. We are going to 100% give you authority of naming world champions and complete control of the Diamond Belt of the National Police Gazette. We have held close to our vests for 130 years. Scott, it is now yours. And at that time, then, we upgraded the belt and regave it to Bobby with the strong authority of Linear, and Steve stood right side by side with me when he gave it to him. So there's only been three holders of that belt. And the American belt, there's only been two holders. And that one was in 1882. That was John L. Sullivan. And now Danny Batchelder, and he will be fighting the undercard. And there's no bigger undercard fight than having the American champion fighting in an undercard of a world champion. This is going to be a huge event. I can't wait for it, and I'm so excited.
Just so you know, I'll fill you in. The National Police Gazette magazine, they were the first and foremost only publication in the world to cover fights. They are the originator of the Ring magazine and everything. They are the first authority. So they had the authority to say who was champion, who wasn't champion. So when you get that authority mixed with Scott Burt, the Hall of Fame, you couldn't ask for better people to be associated with to make the sport legitimacy. See, now the sport has that stamp of legitimacy with these fine gentlemen behind us, like Steve Westlake from the National Police Magazine and Scott Burt from the American Box Hall of Fame.
Yeah. Let me put it this way very, very quickly. There's been many organizations over the years that have tried to bring the bare-knuckle boxing up to where it belongs, what it used to be. And try as they might, they've always had a problem. It's that last hurdle to step over. Well, guys, the glue that sticks all of this together is the belt that we have and the authorization from the Police Gazette. There's no other in the world, not even close. The other organizations can try, and I support them, and will help them in any way possible. Any way possible. But I'm the sole owner of the glue. And that combination with Dave Feldman and Bobby Gunn, it just makes this something that just cannot fail. The combat world is just a buzz about this. And everything, all the stars have aligned. And Bobby's hard work for through his entire career is finally going to pay off.
I was just going to say how it's obvious that it's legitimate in the sense of MMA is huge. I mean, that's the buzz. And you have an MMA fighter who is making that transition into bare knuckle. I guess my wondering is what is intriguing about it versus just the sport, but what's intriguing to get him into that realm versus MMA?
Well, I'll let Bobby talk to you about this, but I'll give you one sentence, and that is the gloved sports are sick of the games that are being played, and they are looking for leadership from the top. It's honest, pure, straight out, looks out for the fighters before anything else, and just wants to make something so attractive to the people. The fans out there really want something that they know is legit and that they know is honest, and that's what we are.
And I'm going to tell you something, too, with what Scott said there. This is something nobody's talking about, okay? Do you understand, in the history of bare-knuckle boxing, before Bobby Gunn was born, I'm talking about John L. Sullivan, and even the bare-knuckle fighters that you never heard of. I mean, the history of underground bare-knuckle fights that took place in this country, like the movie Charles Bronson, Hard Times, has been here for years. Do you realize there's never been a recorded death in a bare-knuckle fight?
How many times did professional
boxers die and MMA fighters? Didn't that Conor McGregor stablemate just die? God bless that poor man. Not too long ago?
Yeah.
Now think about that. This happens a lot in gloves sports. I know. When you're bare-knuckle fighting, you don't throw as hard as you can because you don't want to hurt your hand. You take your time. It's a chess game. With gloves, my hands are wrapped like a cast, basically. I put that little glove on, and I don't care about my hands. I'm smashing hard as I can. Well, therefore, I'm doing more damage to somebody's brain internally. With bare-knuckle boxing, I'm doing extra damage, like outside damage, like maybe cut your eye, bleed your nose. Now, still looks great for the fans, but that fighter is more safer. He goes home to his wee family. Nobody thinks about how that man goes home to his family, how he functions. See, I do. I care about the fighters, and this is why I'm against. If you ever see bare knuckle fighter, they claim they're bare knuckle fighter, and they use these hand wraps, these bandages. To me, that is very unsafe. To me, I believe somebody could get killed and die. Because I mean, the old saying.
They did.
Have you ever heard of? You know, I mean, remember. Remember that fighter that had the loaded hand wraps when he fought Miguel Cotto, Antonio Margarito? How do you know that these guys' hand wraps ain't loaded? We don't allow that because bare-knuckle boxing means exactly what it is, boys. Bare-fist fighting. Go to the dictionary. Look at what does bare-knuckle boxing mean? It says no gloves or hand wraps or bandages cover your hand. Bare-fist fighting. So it is the purest form of combat sport, but it's the most safest sport, and that's a fact. And the people, I don't understand that. Well, you know what? How many people dies in MMA and boxing every year? There's never been a reported death in the history of bare knuckle boxing.
A quick history about that. And of course, with the hands wrapped, they can load them with plaster and all of that. And that's just ridiculous. But you know, sensationalism from the media back in the 1800s, because all it was paper, was how beat up the fighters got. Well, that was all sensationalized. That was not the way it was. They didn't come out with eyes hanging down to their chins. It was just made to sell papers. And if you look at it, the glove was put on not to protect the opponent's head, as people would think, but it's actually there to protect the puncher's fist, so he could whale more and whale more and whale more. Now, as Bobby didn't say, but a wrong shot with a bare fist, and you hit him in the teeth, and you cut your hand. One on the top of the head, the head is harder than the fragile fingers. You know, breaks his fingers. So it is a chess match, and it's a different way of viewing a sport. And the people who see this are going to say, "Oh my, there was an opportunity to hit that, to take the shot. Oh, he missed it." They're not going to be seeing people flailing left and right. If they blink, they're going to miss the knockout. And they're going to go, "Oh, damn, I missed it." Yep. And it's a different way of looking at it.
The idea of loading up your gloves, I had never heard that thought before. I guess I live in this world of, no, the commission's right there. They would never let that happen. You know, I never thought of what's going to happen the day someone gets brutally knocked out or whatever, and kind of like Sammy Sosa's back cut in half, and we see it's court. You know, we find this guy's hand is chock full of something. I had never thought of that, you know, and that's crazy.
Well, it's happened throughout the sport for years. Like, there's Antonio Margarito when he fought Miguel Cotto, and the hand, he was suspended from boxing. The hand wraps had plaster Paris on it. See, the commission does check it, but there's ways of these guys getting around, little cheating techniques. Now, let me ask you a question.
Oh, yeah.
When you see on video some of these guys, they say they're bare knuckle boxing, and their hands are wrapped like a cast. There's no boxing commission. That's actually a blood sport. That's human cockfighting. That's more dangerous than bare fist fighting. That's why I say I don't recognize the hand wrappers, because to me that's not bare knuckle boxing. It's a whole different form of fighting. And what we do is the purest of the purest form of fighting, the original combat sport. And that's what we're trying to bring more than anything. We're giving an entertaining sport, but we want to show the world it's a safer sport.
Right, right. And do you feel that this fight could be the event that gains the sport more notoriety?
I feel it could. I think we got great – I mean, we couldn't get any more huge coverage we're getting right now with Rolling Stone magazine. Every time that the story goes up on that, like, to see now, any more between me and you boys, like, regular magazines are kind of obsolete now. Everybody reads online. People read the New York Post online, the newspapers online. Everything's online. And the Rolling Stone magazine, their website has 25 million American traffic every month, 16 million global every month. So when we couldn't ask for a better, you know, people to be behind us. I mean, we got to take our hat off to Staten Moner, the senior editor of Rolling Stone, for getting behind the sport. See, what Scott said earlier, these guys did their homework. These guys are investigative journalists, right, Scott? These guys, like, they're the biggest
Absolutely.
Critics in the world. They don't just say, "Oh yeah, you're good." Like, Staten Boner was investigating me for like 5 or 6 years, wasn't he, Scott? Before he even moved on. He did his homework.
Oh, yes.
He went to fight. He
won the line.
Exactly. So when these guys give their stamp of approval, what's moving forward, now you're talking to, like, superstar status stuff. And this stuff, I'm telling you, boys, even the harsh critics are not with it. Eventually, they'll be over with this. Now, I'm not saying it's going to be bigger, but I will tell you this. I do believe before the year or two is out, it'll be the third biggest combat sport in the world next to boxing and MMA. It'll be right there rubbing shoulders. And I believe in my heart eventually it'll be number one. You'll see fighters coming over. Like, I believe down the road you'll see Conor McGregor's coming in the bare knuckle box and fighting for a world title. You're going to see stuff you've never seen. And it's all falling in place because we're doing it the right way. We have a great foundation and we're taking our time. We're doing it the right way.
Just how do you see yourself getting your hand raised overall?
Well, you know, I'm training my ass off for the hardest fight I had, and I'm an older fighter. I'm getting older now, so I train a little differently than I did years ago. Like, I take my more time now. I do a lot more stretching. And here's the bottom line, boys. Throughout life, I had a lot of hurdles to jump, and I seen a lot of bad things happen to me in life. A lot of people screwed me over, done me bad. A lot of circumstances you can't make up in life that's happened to me. But I've, through it all, I've fought my heart out, and I got great people in my life right now. And I love Scott and Judy's wife, and, you know, I got great people behind me. And I promise you boys today on this radio, it's going to take a hell of a man to beat Bobby Gunn. Because I'm a different Bobby Gunn than I ever was before. And I don't think no one's going to beat me in bare-knuckle boxing. I don't think nobody can. This is my time. This is my, I'm at the top of the chain right now. This is my world. It's my jungle. I'm the king of the jungle in bare-knuckle boxing. And to be honest with you, to be the man, you got to beat the man. And nobody's beating this man here. I promise you, boys. I tell you today, there's a song by the Pogues. And it says, fill up your glasses, boys, the brandy and wine. Whatever the price is, I'll pay. For be easy and free when you're drinking with me. I'm a man you don't meet every day. Remember that, boy. Bobby Gunn is a man you'll never meet every day.
And hey, you fire me up every time I hear you talk about this sport and your role in it. You fire me up. I can't wait to tune in and see what happens. And, you know, I wondered, my last thought for you or question for you is, when I heard on the MMA Roasted show, it was interesting to hear Shannon Rich say how, you know, because like you were saying, I mean, he's from back in the day. You are from back in the day. He would fight where he would fight. The roosters would fight, the dogs would fight, and then he would fight. And then the conversation kind of went in a direction. I wanted to know if you had just something like that where you're in this crazy situation doing your thing and just, you know, enjoying what you're doing. But it's a crazy situation.
Well, you know, the underground circuit, a lot of people understand, like, I'm for 11 years, I was the king in the underground boxing. Nobody beat me. I fought everybody. And I won the sanctioned bare knuckle title, and I'm looking to defend the title now, you know. And I've seen a lot of circumstances. I've been involved in a lot of fights for very dangerous places, boys. You know, people's pulled guns on me before, didn't want me to win. And, you know, just to be in that environment, it was very unsafe. But you learn throughout life. Like, boys, believe me, everything that could be done bad to a man, and deceive and lie to, and made a fool out of, it's been done to me. And I learned in life. And God saves the best for last. And right now, I couldn't ask for better people in my life. And I want to say something too, boys. Do you remember Jackie Callan, the famous boxing manager who made a movie about her? Do you remember that movie I'm talking about, Jackie Callan? She's the manager of James Lights Out Tony years ago?
I believe so, yeah.
Okay. I wanted to say something. I'm going to come out tonight that Scott's wife, Judy, which I call her the queen of bare-knuckle boxing, this woman's intelligence and her mindset, she's a historian that nobody knows about, and she will be one of the biggest managers of bare-knuckle boxing in the future. I wanted to throw that out there. You mark my words. She's my friend. It takes a good man and a good woman makes the ultimate team. Scott and his wife is a powerhouse team. I just want you to remember that. I said it here tonight. Mark my words, how she'll be the biggest figure in the world. I'm telling you, she'll be amazing.
Thanks, Bobby. I'll pass that on to her. she's advising the American champion, Danny Batchelder. And she's the first female ever to be in that position. And
ever.
What a tribute to her. And
believe me, boys, everybody will be breaking down the door to get her, to advise them. They'd be so lucky to have her on board. And, I mean, she's an angel. And see, understand how our team works, right? Look at all the characters I mentioned, how it's all involved. You know, there's Dave Feldman, the promoter. Nobody talks about him going through cancer, right, Scott? He battled that, chemotherapy.
Oh,
and he fought this out, boys. And he was sick, and he's overcome it. And Everybody behind it, you know, people don't realize the importance. Like, there's Big Joe Mack. His back is all messed up, and he's a great person. He's a story of the Bear to Mark. And he got up, and he's coming to the Hall of Fame last year, and he's in pain. And, you know, we all do this because we love it. Like, every morning I get up, boys, my heart is poured out for this sport. See, it ain't just about, okay, when I'm talking Bobby Gunn, don't think it's Bobby Gunn. Right now, unfortunately, it is Bobby Gunn because I'm the poster boy. But I'm paving the road for all these young men down the road, guys. What I'm doing now, I'm giving these guys a future, a professional sport. There's a lot of top underground fighters. Scott will tell you, he could beat half of these top 10 world-ranked boxers. But he never got the break. He'll never be known. But guess what, boys? Now they'll be known because we're opening doors for them to come to the legitimate world.
Although he deflects it, it all started with Bobby Gunn. And without Bobby, we wouldn't be where we are, that's for sure. There's no question about that.
Thank you.
And he is a very humble man, and will deflect that kind of a compliment. But we all know the truth. And that is, he spent his entire life working to this point, and it's going to pay off. And I'm not talking about money paying off. I'm talking about history paying off, and that's what it's all about.
You know,
yeah.
Scott told me a while ago. He said to me, he says, your legacy, what you're doing, the history will be forever. He says, money will come with it. Remember, Scott, you told me in the Hall of Fame. He says,
yep.
This what you're doing now is your legacy. And you see, boys, money is great, and it'll all come. But listen, money will all be there. It's inevitable. It's not going to be there because I mean, you can see what we're doing. My boys, the Rolling Stone, the pay per views coming up, like. It's inevitable it's going to happen, but I don't care. I mean, I love it, but, boys, it's what I'm doing. To have that belt around my waist, you think $1 million could buy me that, boys? Think about that, boys. No.
No.
Could $10 million buy me the publicity that I've got with Rolling Stone magazine, me and Scott in the Hall of Fame? No. So I could have had $10 million 5 years ago, and I couldn't buy would God open a door for me to be where I'm at today with these fine gentlemen behind me and this prestigious moments I'm in right now, history-breaking moments. And, boys, I want to thank you so much for having me on tonight. Thank you.
Oh, of course. Yeah, it was our pleasure. I mean, lastly here, we'd like to give you both the opportunity to maybe give any shout-outs to sponsors or maybe links to any social media or anything like that, any thank yous that you have. Bobby, we can start with you if you have anyone that you'd like to thank.
Well, first of all, unfortunately, I wish I had the pay-per-view information tonight, but I don't. But we will soon before the week's out. I will tell everybody it'll be live streaming for the world internet pay-per-view. I would like to thank Rolling Stone magazine for contributing what they're doing. They're the full-time, they're the number one authority behind the journalists behind us right now. And maybe me and Scott could be in the cover one day, right, Scott?
Hey, then we got a bunch of copies for our mother.
and most important, boys, that's right, the cover Rolling Stone. But, you know, boys, I like to thank, there is sponsors coming aboard. I can't say nothing right now until they get the media, the market, like, launched out. But I do want to say this, boys. I want to thank everybody behind the scenes that's worked their ass off to get us where we're at today. And you know something, the word thank you sometimes isn't good enough. I'm going to say I love everybody. I love you guys, too, for having me on. Thank you, everybody.
Of course. Thank you. And, Scott, if you have any shout-outs, any thank yous or anything like that, we'd, of course, like to give you that opportunity as well.
Well, thank you for that. And Bobby has hit them all. The one magazine that we didn't mention yet was the Men's Journal. They did an 8-page article on Bobby and his entire life story, and State Bonner was behind that too. And
thank you. That's right.
We really just have him to thank for everything that we're going through right now. State Bonner has just been amazing. But again, we also take that as a compliment because we know that he just doesn't pass those compliments out lightly. But what I did want to say here in the end is, boys, isn't it refreshing to have a champion like Bobby Gunn, who is so well spoken and is so intelligent? It just makes my heart warm every time I listen to him. He's not your typical a boxer, and I don't mean anything negative by that at all. He is just on the ball. His whole heart is into it, and you can't do anything but just smile when you hear the name Bobby Gunn and listen to him talk. And I would hope you two would follow suit on that with my thoughts.
One last shout out. Scott, I'll give you his full name. Our pal Jack, Scott's partner, right? Is right, Scott, back home?
Yes, that's right. Yep. My right-hand man, Jack Emmerich, and he helps me with everything that I got going. I got days when I'm up, days when I'm down, but he's always there to help. And in fact, we're going over to the barns tomorrow to spruce it up a little bit. And we got some visitors coming in this weekend to take a look at it, and again from all over the world. And I can always count on Jack. So very good. Thanks, Bobby, for reminding me of that.
Well, thank you both for joining us today. It was an honor to speak to both of you. This is going to be a huge event, and we cannot wait to see it. Thank you both. And that was Bobby Gunn and Scott Burt. Thank you very much for tuning in. I want to thank Dave Madden for helping us co-host the interviews. And Dave, where can people find you at?
Facebook at Dave Madden and Twitter, D Madden MMA. And that was an awesome time with Bobby Gunn, man. I'm fired up.
Of course, man. Me too. And, of course, a big thanks to Rob Mead. He was not able to join us and help us co-host, but he does run everything on our site. So, of course, a big thank you to him. Make sure to like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at FunkyMonkeyMMA. Make sure to follow me on Twitter at Kane E. Miller. And keep up with the site through latest interviews, event photos, and analysis pieces. We'll see you next time.
You can listen to Funky Monkey MMA Radio on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Blog Talk Radio, Player FM, Cast Roller, the TuneIn Radio app, MMAFutures.com, LoveMMA.com, MMArecords.com, and FightBookMMA.com. Funky Monkey Radio is sponsored by Altercation Clothing. If you never back down, then you're ready for an altercation. For the freshest news and notes on all things MMA, get over to FunkyMonkeyMMA.com.
Interested in sponsoring the show? Then send an email to funkymonkeymma@gmail.com.
You're listening to Funky Monkey MMA.
MMA fans, are you looking for something to set you apart? Then check out altercationclothing.com. Altercation Clothing is a brand with attitude, offering fans and fighters alike a variety of specialty shirts. If you won't back down, then you're ready for an altercation. Altercation Clothing can be found on Facebook at facebook.com/altercationclothing. Altercation Clothing is a proud sponsor of Funky Monkey MMA Radio.
You're listening to Funky Monkey MMA.